This is the voice of truth, the voice of God's inerrant, absolute, unbroken, verbally inspired word. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, the old trailblazer, introducing the message this morning at this time by the late Pastor L.R. Shelton, Sr., who was our pastor and the founder here for many years. And we're happy to be here with you folks. We've been here a long, long time. And the message that you will hear today is the greatest joy of heaven. Did that whet your appetite just a little bit, my friend, to hear? The greatest joy of heaven. You know what the greatest joy is going to be? To meet our blessed Lord. To see Him who died for us. Paid our sin debt in full. Well, I want you to stay tuned now. I'll give you the closing message. I'll give you the mailing address and other information. The greatest joy of heaven. You stay tuned.
When the average individual thinks of heaven, he thinks of a place of rest. And that's right. We rest from all of our labors. Our trials and troubles are over. We leave all of our sins behind when we put out the seed. Our enemies cease to be then. Paul, in speaking of the resurrection of the body in 1 Corinthians 15:43, says, "The body in death is sown in weakness, it is raised in power." Here we are made to cry, "O wretched man that I am! Sin hinders us from doing good." As Paul said in Romans 10:17, "The good that I would, I do not." And it seems many times that sin is more active in its realm than grace is. Sometimes sin gets the mastery over us, and even though we are saved, it leads us captive. Many times it seems that we are carried downstream, even though we fight against it, and we are made to cry out, "O Lord, give us rest from all of our sins and our weaknesses, and give us our new bodies, wherein dwelleth no sin." Sin defiles the soul. It mars the beauty of the believer. Sin disarms us of our strength, and we become weary. David said in 1 Samuel 3:39, "I am this day weak, even though anointed king." Even though the child of God is crowned with sovereign grace, and he's anointed by the Holy Spirit as a spiritual priest and king, he feels his weakness. This is because sin is ever restless. And as Paul puts it in Galatians 5:17, "The flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh." Sin clings to us, and we cannot rid ourselves of it, because the roots lie deeply embedded in the old nature. Then even though the saint wrestles against it, prays and struggles, and longs to be free from it, he has to carry around with him the old body of sin, and like the prisoner in the ancient dungeon, with a dead body chained to him, cries, "Who shall deliver me from this dead body?" So the believer cries, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" Or this body of sin. Sin is ever present with all of our religious duties and graces. We come to pray, and sin is present. We come to witness for our blessed Lord, and sin is ever there. We come to read the blessed word, and sin pokes its old head up and comes in as an uninvited guest. Sin makes the saint weary of his life, and waters his pillow with many bitter tears, because he offends the God he loves. But oh, what a blessed hope in the believer's heart, that one day when death comes, he is free from all his sins, and he can cry out, "To die is gain." Also he looks for his new body, which God will give him in the resurrection, wherein dwelleth no sin. And what a blessedness to be saved even from the presence of sin. Brother, that's a great joy. that believers look forward to, a rest from sin. But that's not the greatest joy of heaven. No matter what joy there is in the anticipation of being freed from sin, that's not the greatest joy of heaven. Then heaven will be a place where all troubles and trials and afflictions will have come to an end. As someone has said, sin is the seed sown, and trouble is the harvest reaped. The Bible says man is born to trouble. It's his birthright. There seems to be a far greater portion of bitterness than there is pleasure in this life to the believer. And I do not care how much grace God may give you. It does not exempt you from your troubles and trials. Old Jacob said in the closing days of his life, "Few and evil are the days of my life." Many, many times as I've been tossed to and fro in this trial, that affliction, or with the weight of care upon my shoulders facing the problems of life, I have been made to cry out, "Won't death be glorious? Won't heaven be wonderful?" Just to be free from all the trials and heartaches and headaches of life. Yes, heaven will be a place where we'll be free from all our miseries and sorrows and cares of life. Everywhere we turn here, we face an angry, rebellious world that does not love our Lord, has no taste for spiritual things, and we find no fellowship. To the believer, this life as a pilgrim and a stranger is a lonely life. It is brightened here and there by a fellow pilgrim who is traveling toward the celestial city, with whom we can enjoy fellowship in our blessed Lord. So we think of heaven as a place where we are free from this old body of sin and death, free from all of our sorrows and trials and afflictions, our tribulations, and from our miseries and troubles. That will be joy, won't it? But this is not the highest joy or the greatest joy of heaven, no matter how blessed it will be. Yes, that's right. Others think of heaven as a place where we'll meet our loved ones and where we will know each other and again enjoy the society of our friends and godly relatives and the glorified saints and the holy angels. I've often been asked the question, Brother Shelton, will we know each other in heaven? Certainly we will. We will not lose our identity in the resurrection. Old Job was made to say, "In my flesh I will see God." In other words, the body that is sown will be raised. Not a different body, but the same body. If these bodies of the saints in which we live here were not raised, it would not be a resurrection, but a creation. Our new bodies will be flesh and bone, like unto the glorious body of our blessed Lord. The life of the new body will be the spirit and not the blood. It is sown in corruption. It'll be raised in incorruption. In other words, our new body will be in the image of the Son of God, raised in holiness and perfection, with no sin clinging to it. Praise the Lord. We could shout hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Won't that be a great day with our new bodies with no sin clinging to it? The Scripture says we'll come from the east and from the west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac in the kingdom, and Jacob in the kingdom. We learn from this Scripture that we will not only recognize those with whom we move and had our being in this life, but we will recognize the other saints. How would we know that we sat down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the other world if we did not know them and recognize them? Then we find in Matthew 17:4 that Peter, James, and John recognized Moses and Elijah on the Mount of Transfiguration, whom they had never seen before. Yes, one of the greatest delights, and shall I say, infinite delights in heaven will be our fellowship with the other saints. What a glorious company and an indescribable fellowship that will be to walk the streets of glory and fellowship with all other blood-bought sinners in thy resurrected, glorified bodies. But, my friend, that will not be the greatest joy. of heaven, though how blessed that may be. And there'll be no sin to mar our fellowship, no misunderstanding among the saints. It'll be one glorious eternity of admiring Christ in each other and witnessing to each other what the sovereign grace of God has done for us in Christ Jesus our Lord. No doubt we will talk about His election, His predestination, His effectual calling, His justification, and our acceptance in the Beloved, and His blood redemption in Christ. We will speak, no doubt, of our sanctification, of living grace, our victories in Christ, our dying grace, or our translation of the coming of the Lord, or the resurrection from the grave of our new bodies made in the image of the Son of God. Yes, all of this will be a great joy to the believer and something to look forward to. It's our hope. It's our living hope. Beaten down here, we are not defeated. Persecuted, we bless. Belittled and made fun of, we glory in it. Made to suffer for our Lord's sake, we praise the Lord for grace to endure. But that also will not be the greatest joy in heaven. No matter what joy that may give us, it won't be the greatest joy in heaven. In connection with our fellowship with the saints in glory, many think that the greatest enjoyment of heaven will be to meet our loved ones over there. They forget that there will be a new relationship in heaven. There is neither marriage nor given in marriage in heaven. Standing at the open grave with loved ones, through the years with tears streaming down their cheeks, I've heard them say, "Pastor, won't it be a great joy to meet them on the other side?" No doubt it will, but not as our loved ones, but as fellow saints in Christ. All these sentimental songs with such titles as "Shake Hands with Mother Over There," or "Hear the Patter of Little Feet in Heaven," are based on sentimentality and not on the Word of God. As such, there'll be no babies in heaven. All babies who die in infancy are made new creatures in Christ at death, but they will be raised in the resurrection as adult saints with bodies like unto our Lord, because it is all of grace. So meeting our loved ones over there is not the greatest joy that we will experience in heaven. Though it be a great joy to meet some, but we won't meet them all. Then on the other hand, as I have talked with multitudes, I find that the concept of the average individual of heaven is that they'll have a mansion in the skies. That is something to look forward to, I'm sure, where there'll be no weary days, no hunger, no crying, because God will wipe away all tears. There'll be no more death nor pain. The curse that rested upon the first Garden of Eden will be removed forever. There'll be no need of the sun by day or the moon, the stars by night to give light, because the Lamb will be the light of it. The streets, we are told, are paved with pure gold. The walls are made of jasper, the gates of solid pearl. No language can describe the beauty of that city. And Abraham said, he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. But did you ever stop to think, my fellow saints, that in time that would grow weary to our eyes? I do not care how beautiful the sunset may be, or how fragrant and verdant the forest may be. In time, our eyes grow weary in looking. And therefore the city not made with hands would of itself become weary to behold. So are these things, all of these things, will not be the greatest joy in heaven. That's right. These and many other things we could mention will be great joys, or produce great joy in heaven. But from the study of God's Word, now you get this, and from my own personal experience, I believe the greatest joy of heaven to a believer will be God Himself. Just God Himself. As I said, we have found to think that the happiness or enjoyment of heaven is being free from pain and misery. But the real essence of joy will be fellowship with and in the presence of the Lord God Himself. The greatest joy to the saints in this life is the presence of the Lord manifested to his heart and mind The Lord God is an infinite, inexhaustible fountain of joy. We know to have the Lord Jesus is to have all. Every believer who experiences glimpses of the Lord Jesus Christ in this life would not trade those moments of joy in Him for all that the world holds or has or can give. The individual who knows not God has no taste for spiritual things, has no love for God, does not enjoy the presence of God. They run from Him because they hate Him. Heaven will be filled with the presence of God. The city itself will lose all significance because we will abide or live in the fullness of God Himself. And that will be the greatest joy to the saint of God. We will have our new bodies, which will have no limitations. Therefore, we will be prepared to live forever and ever only in the presence of Jehovah God. He will be all in all. There will not be one cloud in sight, not one sin to mar His presence. He Himself will fill the horizon of the universe. All the miseries, heartaches, disappointments, trials, and tribulations will soon be forgotten. Paul puts it like this in Romans 8:18, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." And the toils of the road will seem nothing when we get to the end of the way. How precious is His presence manifested here in our midst, and how we do treasure those brief visitations of our blessed Lord. How we do revel in the consciousness of His presence here with all of our limitations because of these bodies in which we live. Then to think that in glory land or the paradise above, He will be all in all, and we will live in the fullness of Himself, not for a few days, but for eternity. Eternity! Let that sound in your ears, saints. For eternity! Just to see Him and behold His face will be glorious indeed. It'll be our coronation day when the Lord God Himself shall show us Himself in all of His royalty and majesty and glory and power. No wonder the book of Revelation, the consummation of all things, constantly tells us that all creatures in heaven shall fall on their faces and give honor and glory unto Him who sits on the throne, just to be with Him, just to receive His manifested love, to be transformed into the image of His Son, and to know the love of God which passeth knowledge no language can describe. We are told in Exodus 34:35 that when Moses was with God on the mountain and had some little sight of His glory, His face did so shine until the children of Israel could not look upon Him until He veiled His face. Then to think, when we shall be glorified in our new bodies, how we must shine in God's presence by having the beams of His glory put upon us. This doesn't mean that we will partake of God's essence, but as we behold God's majesty, we shall be made glorious creatures from the beams of His glory shining upon us all the time. But we'll still be creatures. The psalmist cried out, "When I awake, I shall be satisfied with Thy likeness." As I've already said, in this life we grow tired even beholding the most beautiful things of God's handiworks. But in heaven, we'll never grow tired of basking in the sunlight of His presence and beholding Him as the ages roll on. This will be true because God is infinite, and there'll never be a moment throughout eternity but that there will be something new or fresh manifested in Him that will delight our souls and satisfy every longing, every desire of every child of God in His new body made in the image of the Son of God. Now, friend, that's the greatest joy in heaven. There's another thought that captivates my mind, and that is, we will forever enjoy the Lord God of heaven because we love Him. We love Him because He first loved us. I believe the greatest grief to the heart of God's child is that we cannot love God like we want to love Him in this life. There is great joy in love. Love is the greatest joy and pleasure of the human heart. Then to think that throughout eternity, God's amazing beauty will attract the child of God until it will just be heaven to that individual just to love God. It'll be a perfect love. It'll be a holy love. It'll be a love, will be a love in its fullness. It'll be a love that the angels or cherubims or seraphims will never know. They can stand around the throne of God and cry, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God of hosts." They can bow down and worship Him, but only a poor, hell-deserving sinner, redeemed by the grace of God, washed in His blood, delivered by His power, transformed in the image of the Son of God by His amazing sovereign grace, will be able to love God. That's heaven enough for me. Amen. And amen. And amen. But the most amazing thing will be to enjoy God's love for us, because the Scripture says that God is love. Oh, God is love. Never know the wrath of God in heaven. Never know the displeasure of God in heaven. God is love. And to think that His love will be so manifested there toward His children, as a father loveth his child, His love will be so amazing, will be so indescribable, you can't describe it. That's right. To think that God loved us when we were sinners and continued to love us throughout eternity. What else would we want than the sweet embraces of God's love? He'll not be ashamed to call us His children. We'll not be ashamed to call Him Father. I'm going there, are you? When the saints go marching home, I will be in that number. Will you? Will you, my friend? Oh, what, heaven, it would be heaven if God wasn't there. If the Lord Jesus Christ wasn't there in His corporal body with all the nail scars in His hands and feet and side, and the scars of the crown of thorns upon His brow, and the scars of the Roman scourge upon His back, in that resurrected, glorified body, the Lord who loved us like He loved us and died for us to redeem us. Oh, the blessed Holy Spirit will be there forever and forever, who came and wooed us and convinced us that we were sinners, convinced us that Christ died for us and brought us to rest in Him. And upon Him, though our faith may be weak, and we go limping through this life, doubting and fearing and so on through this life, but on the resurrection morning, when the trumpet of God shall sound and the dead shall be raised incorruptible and in power, in the image of the Son of God, no more doubts and no more fears, but to be brought into the presence of the Lord God of heaven, and to know the embraces of His love forever and forever. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, that word hallelujah's got the wrong coming, but that's an Old Testament word. Praise the Lord for all of His marvelous love. Won't heaven be wonderful just to be with the Lord God forever and forever and forever? My friend, I'm going there. Are you? Are you? Oh, do you know Christ? Do you know Him? Stop fighting Him. It'll not be so with the wicked or the unbeliever. He will live throughout eternity in the conscious presence of the Lord God he hates. Just as the believer will know as he is known, so the unbeliever will know as he is known. And I won't tell you, unbeliever, it'll be an awful moment. It'll be an awful hour. It'll be an awful day when you quit breathing and you're ushered into hell. Well, you said, do you believe that hell is literal? Well, let's wave that aside for just a moment. You don't love the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't love God the Father. You hate the wooing of the Holy Spirit. You hate the Word of God. And for death, you'll be ushered in unto that other world, where there's nothing but the presence of the Lord God of heaven. But there'll be a great gulf fixed between you and the saints of heaven, and the presence of God, the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, the presence of the Holy Spirit. The Word of God will be the books that'll rest upon the throne and will be opened. And for you to have to rest there throughout eternity in His presence with all your sins, with all your rebellion, with all of your impenitent spirit, with all your hatred for God. And you never can repent. You can never turn to Him. Though you may cry from the vortex of hell, "Bring forth, Lazarus, one drop of water, and cool my tongue in this parching flame, by my parching tongue in this flame." You may cry out, and there be the wailing cries of the damned, because Christ said, "Cast them into outer darkness, where there be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth." Why? Because you have to live in the eternal presence of an eternal God throughout the universe. And you'll know your own old wicked heart as you're known. You'll know all your corruption and vileness and wickedness. And you'll know all your sins and all of your corruption. And you never can get rid of it. It'll be there because you'll be raised in that old corrupt body and cast in the outer darkness. But in that darkness, you'll behold the glorious light of the Son of God as He lights the universe and the paradise above. And my friend, that'll be hell enough, won't it? Yes, it will. God help you and God lead you today. If God's dealing with you at all, whether bound, my friend, to heaven or to hell, will you turn to Christ? Will you look to Him? Will you fall on your face right now and begin to cry for mercy? Lord, open my heart. Lord, bring me to repentance. Lord, grant me faith to lay hold of Christ. Will that not be your desire right now?
This brings to the close another Voice of Truth broadcast, and the message you heard was the greatest joy of heaven. I mentioned earlier, the greatest joy, I believe, will be to meet our blessed Lord face to face. You know, we sing a song here, our choir does. Face to face, oh blissful moment. What a joy that will be. You know, we have so many folks have a misconcept about what heaven's going to be and the mansions and all. No, we're not worried about those things, are we? To see our Lord who died, who shed His precious blood to save a poor old sinner like old Pendarvis, like old Trailblazer Pendarvis. But this is old Trailblazer, and I'm happy to have you folks with us. And the message was the greatest joy of heaven. And let me give you our mailing address quickly. Help us with the broadcast a little if you possibly can. The mailing address is Radio Missions, Post Office Box 1810, Walker, Louisiana, 70785. And my phone number, area code 225-664-8658. I'm always here early in the morning, 7 o'clock, 6:30, 7 o'clock, 7:30, and drinking coffee and eating a little biscuit maybe. But you call me any of those days, even on Saturday, I'm here. But remember, my mailing address, Radio Missions, Post Office Box 1810, Walker, Louisiana, 70785. I love to go to the post office and pick up your mail and look to see a letter just from you. Goodbye and God bless you.